Hare Krishna. Nice to see all of you. Thank you for coming. Let me just establish myself a little bit. I need just get a few things. Krishna, Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna, Ananta. Good morning, nice to see you. Now I just need someone to tell. I have prepared a lecture, but I want to know, is there a text or should I choose a text? I could choose. Good, I have done this already. Hare Krishna, Hare Bhagavad Gita, Lakshmi Murli, what a pleasure to see you. I only see you at the holy places normally, in either, this is a holy place, yes. Yes, Srila Prabhupada actually said that our temples are not in the material world. He said they are in the spiritual world. I remember hearing this when I was in the Hamburg temple. I lived for some part of my life before Krishna consciousness in the harbor town Hamburg, and I can tell you it is a very tough town. There's a lot of criminality, a lot of money in Germany. Maybe it's the second richest town in Germany. And yes, I lived there, and I knew both the dark sides and the of Hamburg, and I also knew the cultural sides, the theaters, the places where the rich people would go. And I became a devotee in London, actually, and then joined in Hamburg, our temple. And I remember when we lived in the temple, Prabhupada wrote us a letter actually about his temples. He said, these temples are not in the material world. And I had just come from the material world, and I thought, wow, God, I have found the escape door. I remember. So yes. This is technically speaking Navadvip, I think, isn't it? Because of Panchatattva. that's a problem. I am not a saintly person, but Prabhupada is here. Good. All right. So welcome everyone. We will just sing Jai Radha Madhava, and then I will chant a text with you. Is there will there be a projection of the text, or we will? I could. I have it here, I think it's nice if we keep the format of chanting the Sanskrit. Who's a good writer? Audaya Chandika is the best I know, but is she here? Would you be willing to offer your calligraphic skills and just have to I'm a little disordered. Here. We need now second eyes. They always get lost. So Adaya Chandika, where is she? Here. Can you give this to Adaya Chandika? Maybe you just write. No, if you write extra beautiful, it will take time. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha. Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punyavihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jalavarama Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasodhanandana Vrajajanadanjana Dana Vrajajanadanjana Yasodhanandana Vrajajanadanjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama
Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai panchayatma jaya panchayatma panchayatma jaya panchayatma
Vishnupad, Pranamahang, Savaravaraja, Kacharya, Astata, Satasi, Simades, Divine Grace, Sila Ave, Charanaravinda, Sila Bhaktivinam, Swami Maharaja, Sila Prabhupada, Ki, yes, Anand Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Iskon Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Samavita Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Chiguranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Oh, glorious. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading this morning from the 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 42.
Aksham dasha pranamadharma dhamo. Chakre bhimanam ratinam cha jivam. Dhanur hitasya pranavam patanti. Sharam tu jivam parameva lakshyam. Aksham dasha pranam adharma dharmo. Chakre bhimanam ratinam cha jivam. Dhanu hitasya pranavam patanti. Sharam tu jivam parameva lakshyam.
Yes, please, someone else.
Sharam tu jivam param eva lakshyam. Sharam tu jivam param eva lakshyam.
Ashanda Shakalama Dharma Dharma
Chakri Vimanam Rajinam Chajiva
Chakri Vimanam Rajinam Chajiva
Danurhitasya Pranambam Bhaganti
Danurhitasya Pranambam Bhaganti
Sharam Tu Jivam Paramam Eva Vakshya
Sharam Tu Jivam Parameva Vakshya
Hare Krishna, thank you. Can we have one Mataji, please? Sharam tu jivam parameva lakshya. Thank you. I'm sorry, it's already so late, so I will go immediately. The 10 kinds of air, my dear devotees. What are these 10 kinds of air? They're not what you... they are things which you... control and yoga. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels, and the top and the bottom of the wheel itself are called dharma and adharma, or religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of that chariot. The Vedic mantra Pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. It's one of these texts where we need a little context in order to understand. So Prabhupada supplies us with this. 10 kinds of life air always flow within the material body. They're called prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana, naga, kuma, krikala, devadatta, and dhananjaya. They're compared here to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. The life air is the energy for all of a living being's activities, which are sometimes religious and sometimes irreligious. Thus, religion and irreligion are said to be the upper and lower portions of the chariot's wheels. This was quite technical. Now, Prabhupada will talk about something which is more of devotional concern. When the living entity decides to go back home, back to Godhead, his target is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. Nate vidu svatagatim hi Vishnum durashaya ye bahir atamanina. The living entity tries to be happy within this material world, not understanding the target of his life. When he is purified, however, he gives up his bodily conception of life and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. And then he takes the arrow of his purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of Pranava or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it's early in the morning and we need a little oxygen, maybe also. Can someone, one devotee is already asleep at the Hare Krishna. It's just for some time, then we will. No torture intended, just for some time. So I would like to summarize this, because, my dear devotees, I have been lecturing this year maybe 5 times already on this text, and the more I read it, the clearer it becomes, or I gain more and more insights. It is said here, it's described here by Srila Prabhupada, how when we want to enjoy this material world, we do not understand as supreme goal of life, a superior goal of life. But at the time when one is purified in his heart, one does understand that one doesn't belong to this world, to a community, a nation, even a body. One is not a man or a woman or a German or a Slovenian. No. One understands these are all upadis, and they go. And at that time, we take our life, which is free from these upadis, these designations or false labels. We take our life and we think, what is the goal of my life now, and how do I get there? And at that time, we understand Krishna is the goal of my life, and I get there by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So Prabhupada writes this very beautifully. Please note the expression. Then he takes the arrow of his purified life, and with the help of the bow, the transcendental chanting of pranava or the Hare Krishna mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the words bow and arrow are used in this verse, one might argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his chivalrous pleasure. For example, the Lord fought with Bhishma, and when Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this was a kind of humor or relationship of which there are 12. When the conditioned soul tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow at him, the Lord takes pleasure, and the living entity gains the profit of going back home, back to Godhead. So it's good if you make Krishna the target and you use the mantra as a bow, and you as a purified concept, you must purify your life from these labels, and then hurl yourself back home, back to God. It's good, the Lord takes pleasure. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as a result of piercing the anharamina, or the fish, within the chakra, achieved the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if with the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord, one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pushtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine
Nivesesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Sataline Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, we have assembled here on the invitation of the Ljubljana Temple and the wonderful devotees who are serving here and keeping this holy place the green capital of Europe. This is the inofficial name of this town, the green capital of Europe. And there we have this nice holy name festival, which has many benefits, but maybe the supreme benefit for us is that we can come together as devotees of Lord Krishna, and we can support each other by moving forward in our spiritual life. My contribution during this festival is, amongst others, to give this lecture, and I have thought deeply how I could support all of you in your own relationship of the holy name. And I have felt that today I would talk a little bit from my own, experience with Srila Prabhupada's instructions on chanting and with my own application or attempt to apply these. The first time when I saw how much importance Srila Prabhupada places on the chanting, it was in a public program in Königstein, Germany. My parents were at this program, and I was a little bit anxious because I hoped they would give up their distance to Krishna consciousness, their reservation, by meeting Srila Prabhupada, and therefore we invited them to this program. They wrote in the same camp with Sankirtan devotees, and one enthusiastic Sankirtan Mataji told all the others her method of getting maximum amount of money from the non-devotees. You smile in their face and then you take a big note out of the open purse and dangle it and say, "Don't be attached." So they were quite shocked by this method. They had not expected such a method. They thought it was thievery with a smile. This is what my father told me afterwards. And they were a little bit, the distance had become bigger to Krishna consciousness. They told me at the beginning of the program, "We are not sure if you are in good company, but I said, wait until you see Srila Prabhupada, then you make your final conclusive judgment at that time. And something happened in this program. I must admit I forgot the content of the lecture. I only know Prabhupada preached about how we are not the body in this lecture, public lecture. And then he, after the closure of the lecture, he chanted for a brief time and then invited his audience for questions. And one man stood up and said, this chanting, I have watched you and your followers. This chanting seems to me to be self-hypnotism. Now, at that time, hypnosis was not considered to be a valuable therapeutic practice. It was something like escaping the reality. So he said like this, and I said, oh no. The Prabhupada looked at him and really said strongly, but with a lot of feeling, no, it is not self-hypnotism. It is self-purification. And he said it in such a way that, you know, the person became silent and he could see he was a real devotee of the Lord, a real saintly person, speaking from his experience, sharing that this is something to purify the heart. And after the lecture, I went to my parents and asked them, so what is your impression? And they said, you know, when he answered this question, we could see that he is a saintly person. And this man should not have asked this question in this way. And in this way, something began to change in the perception of Krishna consciousness. It was a long journey for them, but they came to really appreciate and be grateful in their lives for the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. But it started all there, and I noted it also. It was so genuine. This is purifying the heart. Prabhupada really meant it. It was like, this is purifying the... No, he said it very softly, but strongly. This is self-purification. And everyone felt it in the audience. Yes, we need to become free from all these unnecessary thoughts, all these problems, all these worries and anxieties, and we should clean our heart. This is a good project. This is necessary. I always remember how Prabhupada said from his so deeply and so genuinely and so, for me as his disciple, so lovingly and compassionately, but also so strongly, this is purifying the heart. And I always kept this as a sacred memory of my own times with Prabhupada, because I was there in the audience. In fact, I sat next to him, on the floor, of course. And yes, it was really wonderful. And now, as this time is long back, almost, and as I look back, I always remember Prabhupada calling us to purify our lives. On that visit in Germany, he said to one priest, I have not come to preach philosophy to you. I've just come to ask you to chant and purify your heart. And then he said something which is noteworthy in these modern times. He said, and then you will realize your constitutional position. In the Vaishnava context, this is a very monumental sentence. It means, in order to realize who you are, self-realization, it is necessary to just purify your heart by chanting Hare Krishna, and that will give you your understanding of who you are and your relationship with Krishna. He said this. I was also there in the morning walk, and I heard it for the second time, his emphasis on chanting, where he even said he had not come to preach philosophy. Of course, I mean, he's written many books, this is philosophy, but the purpose of this literature, the purpose of his lectures and preaching is just to convince us to take to the chanting of the holy name and realize our constitutional position. I've reflected on these two statements with one of my god brothers. Maybe you know him, perhaps he visited you. His name is Agnidev. Do we know Agnidev in Slovenia? We know. He was for a long time a temple president, and he is very convinced of chanting. He's really a man of chanting, and in his old age he travels everywhere. He also likes to sing Vaishnava songs. We always talk about this one purport where Prabhupada says how important Vaishnava songs is. He said one should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession. Should chant them. Once I said to him, "You're traveling all over the world," and he says, "Yes, Maharaj, and I'm already beyond jet lag. I'm beyond that. I just don't know any longer where I am and what's the time. I travel so fast." And devotees asked me to chant with them, so I do this. And I said to him, "I'm also chanting more as I'm becoming old, and I said to him, "But you know what I have realized? I want to chant without becoming bored. This is my duty, my task at the moment. I want to just chant without becoming bored with the process." How do we say bored in Slovensky language? Yes, Nick. Yes, no dobitschasne or whatever is this. No becoming bored. And that is possible, my dear devotees, when the heart is purified. Then you will not feel, "Oh, I have chanted now 16 rounds," or, "Oh my God, I'm sitting in this kirtan. When is it ever ending? I mean, yes, I know they say in the lectures this is good for me, but I want to eat now. This is better for me." And this, my dear devotees, is possible if you purify your life. Then you will appreciate Krishna's presence in the holy name without stopping. You must purify your life. And Prabhupada speaks here about one process of thinking which we must do. We have to see, who am I really? When everything which is not me falls away from me. What is not me? Well, my passport identity is not me. I have a new dhoti. This was given in Russia to me. It's not me. It's very, very beautiful in my opinion, but it's not me. I have a dental pain in the between six and seven on the upper row, the tooth, but that's not me. Who am I really when everything falls away, which is not me? This question is important to chant, because it will connect you with a mission and with a project which you have forgotten most of the time. When you come down to the essence, to who you are, you begin to understand, I have a big need. I'm a soul. I'm a part of Krishna. I belong to him. He was with me before my birth. He was with me during the hours of my birth in this world. He is now always with me in the heart. And he will be with me when I leave this body. And he loves me somehow or other. But I am not responding. I'm not there in this relationship. So this is but the moment you purify your life from that what is not you, when all these things fall away, your anxieties, your worries which you have by living the trying to fulfill desires which don't even belong to you, at that time you will hit upon a very, very living connection, a divine connection, that is your relationship with Krishna. And this is what you do when you chant. I always tell the devotees, especially those who lead kirtan, I tell them, be careful. When you sit down, your whole life sits down with you in the kirtan, and it will be influencing you. So better make sure that you, that the things which do not belong to your life, they go. You're not burdening the audience with this. So this is when you chant, you should sit down and think, this is now my chance to become real. I want to become real now. I want to go deep inside, and I want to sing for Krishna's pleasure, because he always was my Lord, he always is my Lord, and he always will be my only Lord. No? And at that time you begin to think a little bit about Krishna. You focus on Krishna. When you, I know the Hare Krishna's devotees become agitated when I tell them they should think of Krishna. I have often thought this is the movement for doing this, but then I'm severely criticized. What we mean here is you can sit before the deity and look at the deities. What you have read in the Gita, I'm the father and the mother of all beings. You can think about how Krishna is your father and also mother. He's your origin, in other words. You come from him. You think about, somehow you think about Krishna. Best is based on the Shastras, because the Shastras tell us who Krishna is. They come into this world as the Pratinidhi Rupa, means the representative of Krishna, the representative form of Krishna. And they give you Shastra Kripa, you know, they give you a certain understanding which we as devotees speak, this is mercy that I can hear this. We hear about qualities of the Lord from the Shastras, that he is not that he's Bhakta Vatsala, the friend, the true friend and well-wisher of his devotees. There is even a verse where Akrura says, who can ever look for someone else for shelter when it's sure that you are the grateful friend of the living entity? Grateful means Krishna is so thankful for any service you do. So in other words, you connect with Krishna. And then you do something which is wonderful. You focus your attention on the chanting, and at that time, as you chant the holy name with great attention, this holy name will take you to Krishna. It will like a bow which takes an arrow and shoots it somewhere. In the same way, the holy name will take you. But first, you have to be you. You have to be real. So therefore, think in the beginning. Align yourself. That's a difficult English word, I know. It means put yourself in a place where you can just be real. I come now. This is a wonderful time for me. I don't have to at this moment drive with a car. I have reached. I don't have to write emails. Best is you put your mobile phones where so much emails always come on the out models. Switch it off, and you just now I'm there. Let me see. Who am I? I'm. Prabhupada always said, what did he say? I'm not the body. Does he maybe mean this? Is this just philosophy? It seems to be real. I'm a soul. I'm not of this world. I have no identity with this gross and subtle body. But I have a concern. I need to go back and establish and to my relationship. And then you think about your relationship, this one relationship that is that you are part of the Lord, and then you focus on the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare. Good. Can we do this again now in a deeper way? Every one of you, think of you are the servant of Krishna. You belong to him. Next is focus on the Lord. He is there on the altar. He's there in your life. Often you forgot him, but he is there always. You can always turn to him. And then chant like this in a prayerful mood. Prabhupada says, like a child who calls for the mother. The meaning of the mantra is, please accept me in your service. Please let us chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. When you chant like this, my dear devotees, you can get something very, very valuable in your life. Prabhupada says another example given in this regard is that of Arjuna. As a result of piercing Adhara Mina, or the fish within the chakra, he achieved the very valuable gain of Draupadi. Of course, this is an analogy. It's not that we chant to get our partner, you know. It's not like this, but it's an analogy. Draupadi was born from the fire. She was known as Krishna, means a great, great devotee of Krishna. I heard once she is an expansion of the goddess of fortune, but I'm not so sure. But she is, has a divine aura. She's really something wonderful. And it was, let me say, her father, Drupad, sent messengers to the kings of the world that his unmarried daughter, Draupadi, would choose on a given day a husband from the assembly of the kings. So, because Draupadi's fame was spread all over the civilized world, all the kings assembled. Even in that royal assembly, there was Krishna Balaram from Mathura. They had come. Everyone was there, my dear devotees. Yarasandha was there, Duryodhana was there, Kana was there, all the big kings, Shalya was there, his sister Ismadri, who was married to Pandu, everyone was there to compete for the hand of Draupadi. Now her father, Drupad, wanted that Draupadi be given to only one man, that is Arjuna, the great devotee of Krishna. And in order to find, but Arjuna, no one knew where he was at that time. He and his brothers, that was the rumor, had maybe been assassinated, killed. The evil Duryodhana had arranged that they be invited to a palace made of highly inflammable shellac. And in the night, when the five Pandavas stayed in this palace, a fire broke out, and in the morning, five unrecognizable bodies of men were found in this palace of shellac. So everyone thought there was a fire accident, or in some thought, it was not really an accident, it was something Duryodhana had initiated, had started. So most of the people, most of the kings thought the Pandavas had been burned to death in that terrible fire. But King Drupad thought, you never know, these Pandavas, they are protected by the Lord. So he devised a very difficult test. Only those who had passed the test would be suitable husbands for Draupadi. But it was almost impossible. There was a wooden fish. He was protected. He was put on a pole which went 20 meters high, quite high, and there was a wheel which was turning, and the archer would have to take a bow of Lord Shiva, which is very difficult to string and to bend, put an arrow there and aim at the fish. But listen to this, they could not take direct aim. They had to look into a basin of water, look down, and see through the spokes of the wheel, which was turning, the fish, and then shoot the fish. No one could do this. No one. No one. It's not possible. It's too difficult. So, on the day of the Swayamvara, all the kings sat down in the arena. In the center there was a podest with a bow and this pole and the fish up there. And Drishtadyumna, the brother of Draupadi, called out, "Who of you wants to try?" So the kings came forward, but they were not they were the small kings, not the Maharatis. Maharatis are people who can fight with 10,000 people at the same time and conquer them. So all the minor kings came, but they couldn't even string the bow. The bow just, you know, when they tried to bend them, the bow obstinately resisted and threw them off the podest. And they were rubbing their bones and said, "It's impossible anyways." And they went humiliated back to the seat. Then Karna rose. He went to the place where the bow was, and he took the bow, and as easy as a child takes a stick, he bent it and fixed the arrow, and everyone knew if he would shoot the arrow, he would hit the target. He was so good. He had showed it many times. He was trained by Parushuram personally. So Krishna sat next to Balaram. Then he closed his eyes, and at that moment inspiration came to Draupadi. Draupadi said very loudly, "I will not marry the son of a chariot driver." Karna looked at her. His eyes were spitting fire. Then he was crying, and he put the bow down and he went and sat down. Krishna went, Then some others came. We have no time for these others. They are not so important. But then Duryodhana came. The moment Duryodhana came, Draupadi started to shake. Not him. Duryodhana came to the podest. Krishna looked at Balaram. And he took the bow, "My dear devotees," and very easily he bent the bow. He took the arrow, shot the arrow, and it missed the fish by this distance. Everyone laughed. Duryodhana, however, was so angry and uncontrolled that he took the sacred bow of Lord Shiva and threw it on the podest and said, "Nonsense!" and sat down. Drishtadyumna said, "Is anyone else there who wants to try?" No one rose. "Is anyone else there who wants to try?" At that time, out of the quarters where the Brahmin sat, a young Brahmin moved into the center of the arena and said, "Is it allowed that Brahmanas compete?" All the Kshatriyas said, "Sit down, your hands are made for books, not for bows. Is it allowed that Brahmanas compete for the hand of Draupadi?" "Tell," said Drishtadyumna, "it is alright if a Brahmana marries a Kshatriya lady. It's not alright if a Kshatriya marries a Brahmana lady. This is the ancient Vedic tradition. If you want to try, you can try." The young Brahmana went to the podest. He took the bow, and effortlessly strung it. He quickly took aim. He shot, and the fish came tumbling down, bang, on the podest. All the brahmanas began to wave their cloth. Our man, our man. They were very enlivened, you know. Oh, yes, we are useful, the kshatriyas, not the kshatriyas. They should go and eat some porridge, you know. By our yagyas, we are very strong. We are the kshatriyas. No, this is not possible. This is not possible. And they ran into the and began to fight with that brahmana. But the brahmana, listen to this. Within seconds, he shot arrows so fast that no one could see how he put the arrows on the bow and how they loosened. It was like a stream of arrows which came to him. At that moment, another brahmana came. He was very tall, and he ripped out a tree and he began to brandish the other kshatriyas with the tree, so that even Karna had to run for his life. At that moment, Krishna turned to Balaram and said, "That's him. That's him. And that's the other him. And there are three other hymns here." You know who that Brahmin youth was? Arjuna, of course. And who was that person with the strength of 20,000 bulls? Beam, saying, beam, beam. But the point here is, by this, by focus, putting the arrow on the bow and using it properly, something most valuable, Draupadi, came to the five Pandavas, and later they ruled the world very just, and so on. No, this happens. It's something most valuable. The lotus feet of Krishna are gained if you chant in this way, which is detailed in this shloka there. And I have a suggestion. I know that today I'm also chanting. I have been invited to chant. I'm hiding always behind Gaur Krishna. We are the Gaur Krishna Bhajan band. So we chant. And I want to show you how you can really apply this secret, which is revealed so mercifully in the pages of the Bhagavatam to us. It is a methodology of chanting properly, how you can apply it in your own chanting of the holy name. That is, I will invite you to join and try this. Because after all, we should live the Bhagavatam. We should not just listen to the Bhagavatam, we should live it also. So that will be better. That will be very good for us. Hare Krishna. I will now little over time. Ananta, what should we do? We have a little bit more time. We can take a little bit. It is a festival. We are amongst ourselves. Dobro. So Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, did you understand something from this lecture? And will you forget it? Yes, we will forget it. It's very important. What Srila Prabhupada was asked also by a reporter, what do you feel when you chant? Prabhupada said, I feel no fear. This is the world of fear. Martya Loka. or Kunta Loka. And the spiritual world is the world without fear. Why? Why means without? Why Kunta Loka? So he said, when I chant, I feel no fear. Because it is bringing, the chanting transports to the chanter to another dimension in his life, to the level of Krishna consciousness. Yes, he's conscious of Krishna. Do you know who's the acharya of chanting? Haridas Thakur? Yes. Haridas Thakur gives three important principles for chanting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this. His first thing is that will help you, and the second thing is that will help you also very much, and the third thing is that will help you also very much. I'm not saying it. Now I want to see if there are questions, and I think there will be a question. By my mystical potency, I already know what question. I know that there will be a question where I can say it. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes, is there other questions? Let me just see. What are the three things? They will come in a second. I want to build up the tension, Lakshmi Mohini, so that the devotees will pay full attention and not see it like something they forget immediately. So I will say it. Don't worry. Yes. Go ahead.
We heard it. To put our identity aside before we approach the Holy Name, we heard so many times, and I believe we all tried it. We all try to adjust what we consider as ourselves before chanting. But it seems that we stopped trying, and maybe discouraged by our failed attempts or shied away from Krishna. Can you tell us how can we continue on or go deeper in it, since it's so essential to the practice?
I would recommend to do it positively, not to put identity aside, which is difficult. You just concentrate that you are a servant of Krishna. This is also the meaning of the mantra. Please accept me in your service. You come in this, not, oh, I'm not Philip Herzegovina, or I forgot your name, Sergovina, or whatever it is, but I'm a servant of Krishna. This is how you can approach the chanting very, very nicely. And of course, here the example of Haridas Thakur will help you very much, because in his example there are three principles which are very helpful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one should follow the easy path of the past acharyas. I think is the life of Haridas Thakur easy? What is easy then? No, you can't imitate Haridas Thakur, but you can apply the principles which he applied in his life, and then the path becomes very easy. And these three principles, which I'm sorry I introduced them in a little, I don't know, not such a good way. And these three principles are, first of all, determination. My dear devotees, you cannot get ever anything in your spiritual life without determination. Rupa Goswami describes this nishchayat, the perseverance, you know. You must persevere and again be determined. I will now sit down to chant. I will make it. I will give my best. The next principle of Haridas Thakur is... one moment. It's strange at the moment. Maybe I'm too troubled too much. I can't remember, to be very honest. But the last principle is compassion for all living entities. Someone who wants to chant and wants to also advance in his spiritual life must learn to think and act for the benefit of others. It's a very important ethical principle which must be learned. It comes again and again in the Bhagavatam as Daya and Maitri, Karuna, and so on. It's something very important that you think for how can I benefit others. And the third principle, maybe I'm looking toward. Yeah, thank you. Oh Krishna, you saved me. To chant incessantly. You should as much as possible during the day chant. You should remember to chant. You know, Germans always sing in the bathroom for some reason. When the water comes, they wake up and they sing. I also, by my past upbringing, the moment I am under the shower, my kirtan starts. But I have lately seen that's not enough, you know. Maybe not even the best place, you know. The best place is really, you know, sing during the day, sing when you are in the car, sing when you are, you know, waiting to, in the queue. I hear many people spend their time standing in queues. I remember once I was in the Zurich airport, and I had to wait at the security. So I chanted different melodies, and I for a moment I think I forgot that I was standing in the queue. And then the a man, businessman, turned around and looked at me, and I thought he would chastise me now for singing so close to his ear a song he has never heard. But he said, "Life is empty without singing, isn't it?" I said, yes, you got it. What do you sing? Wow. What do I sing? Oh, I have such a good song. I have good words which fit for every melody. Would you like to know? Well, yes, for every melody. Yes, anything. Good melody, you know. But it's a song which is making has an effect on your mind. You become very peaceful. What? I need that. I thought I knew this. So I said, let us first go through the security, then I tell you. And then they stopped me at the security because I have in the bag always this